You're listening to Environmental Health Chat, a show from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences that explores the connections between our health and our world. I'm Ashley Ahern. Modern medicine is based on hundreds, even thousands, of years of scientific research, each new development slowly making its way from the lab into widespread use. The mammogram you might get, the CT scan, the vaccine, the ultrasound, name any common treatment or medical practice. Now, think about the fact that at some point, that practice or technology had to make the jump from the lab to your local clinic. It had to be vetted, scientifically accepted, and then implemented. That last step, implementation, is what we're diving into today. More specifically, the field of implementation science. Basically, it's the study of how new ideas and research findings are adopted by public health and medical professionals and accepted by the public more broadly to improve our health. Lindsay Ann Martin got interested in implementation science when she was working at a research center at the Michael E. DeBakey Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Houston, Texas. With a PhD in anthropology, she was part of a research team where psychologists were studying how to implement video telehealth. They wanted to better reach veterans struggling with mental health conditions who lived in rural areas.
Which was a big problem if you live in a rural area and you have to drive to a VA facility to try to get your care. And sometimes you would be on the road for 1 or 2 hours at a time just for one appointment. And so video telehealth had the potential to really be a game changer in that area by increasing that access.
When Lindsay was at the VA, video telehealth was still a relatively new technology. One barrier to implementing it was reliable internet. Many of the veterans had patchy internet connectivity, so the researchers experimented with different options to boost their internet service, like Wi-Fi hotspots. Another barrier?
There were concerns about building rapport over video. How do you make that connection with a patient over video?
The researchers worked with clinicians to start to overcome that barrier, and they could see that mental health treatment could be done over video in many ways like it was in person.
You would talk to veterans. When I would interview veterans, you could really hear how much of a difference that was making, that they had that access, that they could talk to someone, they could see them over a video screen, but not have that two-hour drive in their car each way to get to a VA facility.
For Lindsay, her work with the VA was an important professional experience that got her hooked on implementation science and the value of studying how new ideas and new technologies can best be introduced and put into practice.
And so what I took away from that experience was, as an implementation scientist, you're able to be part of that process where you're speeding up research translation. You're actually closing that gap in care. You're identifying and addressing barriers that may prevent the intervention or the practice from reaching those who need it most.
After leaving the VA, Lindsay joined the NIEHS as a health scientist administrator in the Division of Extramural Research and Training. She's become increasingly aware and committed to applying implementation science to the world of environmental health.
When you think about the field of environmental health science, researchers could design an intervention to mitigate exposure to toxins affecting a community. So it could be a community that may be located near a Superfund site or a large industrial complex that could be experiencing high levels of exposure to lead, for example.
So if a community has high levels of lead in the water or in the soil, there's enough scientific evidence to know that that's a bad thing for human health. The key question for implementation scientists is, how do you work with community members to bring change in ways that might make people safer? For example, by removing lead paint or cleaning up contaminated soil or drinking bottled water. Say there's an educational program that's launched to help inform people about how they can keep themselves safe from lead exposure. Lindsay refers to that as the intervention. Implementation research then looks at the strategies or approaches to help increase adoption of that intervention.
But the problem comes when the community may not widely use the intervention, and so then the impact of it is really reduced. And so, for example, maybe the community thinks that the educational intervention is not written in the right way, or it may not be very user-friendly. And so this is where strategies can be used within the field of implementation to really study what are the best strategies to help the community adopt this intervention. So it can be then scaled up and spread more widely to other communities.
Implementation strategies could include building a community advisory board or holding community town halls to talk about the educational program and what it can do. Lindsay says that work like this could become even more important in the face of climate change, as extreme weather events like hurricanes or flooding threaten public health. Living in Houston, she experienced some extreme weather events firsthand. She was there when Hurricane Harvey hit in 2017.
And so this is, you know, an area, the Houston metro area, is really prone to catastrophic flooding from extreme weather events, whether it's an extreme rain event or it's due to a hurricane or a tropical system that comes through the area. And so when you think about like that context, it's really when the natural environment, the chemical environment, and the built environments all collide in this one moment, and the devastation is absolutely unreal. And so is the uncertainty that you feel as an individual, as you're surrounded by these floodwaters that may be toxic, there may be chemicals in the water, and the air may not be safe to breathe from industries that release some of their emissions during these events.
Lindsay sees an opportunity for implementation science to play a role in helping communities adopt research and information that can help protect public health during catastrophic events in the future.
It could be developing a series of educational materials that are designed and target communities continuously hard hit by hurricanes. So it could be a website, for example, or other types of educational materials. And this educational intervention would inform the community about what can be lurking in the floodwaters or what can be in the air that you breathe after these extreme events. And so that's where researchers could then come in with an implementation science study that evaluates different strategies to help the community more widely use this website, for example, with the website being the educational intervention that has that goal to build community resilience before the next hurricane strikes.
Lindsay has a couple of key takeaways for environmental health researchers thinking about how to make sure their findings are adopted and put into practice. One important thing she's learned in her years as an implementation scientist, any intervention, in order to be successful, needs to be grassroots and tailored to the community it's serving.
It's not something that comes from top down. It's not researchers saying, we think you need this. No, it has to be done with communities in partnership with communities. So it works for them, it meets their needs and their priorities, and it's something that they want. Because implementation will fail if you don't have what we call buy-in.
And then once you have the buy-in, you've also got to be thinking about sustainability, Lindsay says. How do you make sure that the intervention stays in place and is used beyond the lifespan of the research project or funding cycle? Basically, she says, it's important that the new idea, guideline, or practice actually sticks. Another key thing for any scientist to consider, don't make implementation of your research an afterthought.
Always be thinking about implementation, even when you're earlier on in that research pipeline. Even when you're doing efficacy studies or you're doing effectiveness studies, always have that eye towards implementation and think about, how can I make this, that how question, how can I make this work in the real world?
The field of implementation science is growing as more researchers become aware of the need to get their findings from the lab bench to the lives of the general public. Perhaps nothing has made the importance of implementation science more clear than COVID-19 and the current pandemic. It has presented a challenge for public health experts who want to get people to adopt basic health precautions, like wearing masks and now getting vaccinated. Lindsay sees the virus and the pandemic more broadly as a cruel teacher, but also as a learning opportunity for implementation scientists.
I mean, I think it has the potential to really show us how implementation science can be used in the context of public health disaster response. And so it's really looking at trying to make change in real time, because at times implementation research studies, you know, they can go on for a couple years. And so this has been a time for implementation science to really think about how to engage with more rapid types of research to be able, in times of crisis, to be able at that point, take the methods that have been used and really do so in a quicker way, in a more rapid way.
One study found that it takes 17 years to turn 14% of original research to the benefit of patient care. COVID-19 has shown us that time is of the essence when it comes to implementing valuable new research. I'm Ashley Ahern. Thanks for listening to Environmental Health Chat.